This is not a pansy liberal show. It's Bart Cop Radio.
My fear, of course, is that this will go on for a while, and therefore it's incumbent upon us to learn from lessons or mistakes and leave behind a better foundation for presidents to deal with the threats we face. This is the war that other presidents will be facing.
I must say, I feel a little better that Bush is stating for the record that someday there will be a president besides himself. Of course, that'll be Jeb, because I don't think they're going to let go of this monopoly on world power. Who gives up a monopoly on world power? Nobody. Not when you're a greedy oil man and you see trillions that you can steal when you once only had hundreds of millions. They've gone from millions past billions into trillions. You think they're going to give that up? You think they're going to turn power over to some liberal? You know, the liberals, they'll just call Osama and ask him which states he wants. You know how we are, us liberals.
As we head into the 21st century.
Governor, we're already in the 21st century. This is like the fourth year.
One of the interesting things people ask me, now that we're asking questions, is can you ever win the war on terror? Of course you can. That's why it's important for us to spread freedom throughout the Middle East. Free societies are hopeful societies. A hopeful society is one more likely to be able to deal with the frustrations of those who are willing to commit suicide in order to represent a false ideology. A free society is a society in which somebody is more likely to be able to make a living.
But Governor, we're down 3 million jobs on your watch. Does that mean America is less free than we were under Clinton? I think you just said we are.
A free society is a society in which someone is more likely to be able to raise their child in a comfortable environment and see to it that that child gets an education. That's why I'm pressing the Greater Middle East Reform Initiative.
Or, as it's more popularly known, emptying the treasury and splitting it among the BFEE allies.
To work to spread freedom, and we will continue on that. So long as I'm the president, I will press for freedom. I believe so strongly in the power of freedom. You know why I do? Because I've seen freedom work right here in our own country.
You mean like when we lost our right to have the votes counted and lost the Bill of Rights? Are you talking about those freedoms that you've seen in America?
I also have this belief, strong belief, that freedom is not this country's gift to the world.
Here we go with that same old crapola that he said in every speech for the last 5 years. Condi, could you write him a second speech? Would that be too much? Or can the monkey just handle one set of ideas every decade?
Freedom is the Almighty's gift to every man and woman in this world. And as the greatest power on the face of the earth, we have an obligation to help the spread of freedom.
I think someone's lying again. Remember a year ago, Bush didn't say we've got to go to Iraq because everybody deserves to be free. No, he said we have to go to Iraq because Saddam can launch on us in 15 minutes. That's why we had to go. It was so urgent. The threat was so imminent. There was no time to wait another week for the inspectors. There's no time. He could strike any minute. Bush had the CIA guys go to the Senate and tell them that Saddam had these drones that had the weapons of mass destruction in them that could hit the eastern seaboard. And so the senators, in a half a panic, said, yes, we're with you. We got to stop that from happening. We cannot let Saddam take out the East Coast with his WMDs that you've guaranteed us and your CIA has guaranteed us are there. And Rummy even knows where they are. We'd be crazy not to act when we're sure that the threat is real. That's what you said then. Now you're saying we went there to free them because it's God's gift. You're lying, Bush. Too bad nobody's calling you on it.
We have an obligation to help feed the hungry. I think the American people find it interesting that we're providing food for the North Korea people who starve.
My expert on North Korean affairs is sick today and didn't come in, so I'm just going to use my memory and guess. In the late 90s, Clinton made North Korea a deal. If they would knock off the nuclear power, we were going to give them food. And then when Bush got in, he said, no, they're the axis of evil. So they threw away the deal they made with Clinton, and they started working on their nukes. Now they got nukes between, what, two and six of them? And now we're in a position to be blackmailed because Bush wanted to play cowboy again. Now he's bragging about how he's feeding North Korea. No, I think like everything, you're trying to break even to where we were when you stole the election. That's your goal, to get somewhere near the Clinton era.
We have an obligation to lead the fight on AIDS, on Africa.
Excuse me, but once again, going from memory, I think you promised Africa $13 billion, and then you made all the headlines, Mr. Compassion, and then it turns out you pledged 5 instead of 13. Well, 5 is less than 13, Governor. Why did you lie? And what happened to the extra $8 billion? Did that go to Halliburton?
And we have an obligation to work toward a more free world. That's our obligation. That is what we have been called to do, as far as I'm concerned.
And that thumping you hear is him pounding the podium with his finger like his first name is Nikita.
And my job as the president is to lead this nation into making the world a better place. And that's exactly what we're doing. Weeks such as we've had in Iraq make some doubt whether or not we're making progress. I understand that. It was a tough, tough period. But we are making progress. And my message today to those in Iraq is we'll stay the course. We'll complete the job. My message to our troops is we'll stay the course and complete the job and you'll have what you need. And my message to the loved ones who are worried about their sons, daughters, husbands, wives, is your loved one is performing a noble service for the cause of freedom and peace.
It's my guess that once they've pretty much emptied Iraq of their assets, they're going to finally turn this over to NATO or the UN somebody and get the hell out. I mean, once you've robbed the bank, why hang around the bank? The bank's empty now. There's no reason to be at the bank anymore. The money's gone.
Let's see. Last question here. Don.
Following on both Judy and John's questions, and it comes out of what you just said in some ways, with public support for your policies in Iraq falling off the way they have quite significantly over the past couple of months, I guess I'd like to know if you feel in any way that you've failed as a communicator on this topic.
I don't know. I mean,
well, you deliver a lot of speeches, and a lot of them contain similar phrases, and they vary very little from one to the next. And they often include a pretty upbeat assessment of how things are going, with the exception of tonight's pretty somber.
Pretty somber assessment today, Don, yeah.
But I guess I just wonder if you feel that you have failed in any way. You don't have many of these press conferences where you engage in this kind of exchange. Have you failed in any way to really make the case to the American public?
Uh-oh. I don't think Don's going to be invited back to the White House. Don works for NPR. I think they're pretty much done with NPR. Goodbye.
You know, if you put it into a political context, that's the kind of thing the voters will decide next November. That's what elections are about. They'll take a look at me and my opponent and say, let's see, which one of them can better win the war on terror? Who best can see to it that Iraq emerges as a free society?
We know elections are also about Willie Horton, that evil black face appearing on the TV screen again and again, dozens and hundreds of times. Willie Horton is coming to your house. He's going to rape your wife and rape your daughter if you vote for Michael Dukakis. That's what elections are about in the BFEE. And elections are also about checking to see if the candidate's mother is actually a Soviet spy. Remember what they tried to do to Bill Clinton's mom? And also, elections are about your POW opponent having other POWs call him a traitor to his fellow cage mates in North Vietnam and claiming that he doesn't mind if women get breast cancer. That's what elections are about to this bunch of Huns. And if you go back to Texas, it's about lesbians. Ann Richards appointed a lesbian to some commission. And you know how those lesbians stick together. The lesbians. The lesbians and the liberals. You want to go with the lesbians and the liberals and have Willie Horton over? Or do you want to wave the flag and eat some apple pie and give your lives and your money to Halliburton? It's up to you, America.
Don, you know, if I tried to fine-tune my messages based upon polls, I think I'd be pretty ineffective. I know I would be disappointed in myself.
Governor, there's one thing you're not, is ineffective. You are very effective at screwing up everything. And yes, we're all disappointed in you, greatly disappointed in you, greatly disappointed in you.
I hope today you've got a sense of my conviction about what we're doing If you don't, maybe I need to learn to communicate better. I feel strongly about what we're doing. It's a conviction that's deep in my soul. And, you know, I will say it as best as I possibly can to the American people. I look forward to the debate and the campaign.
Hey, Governor, in your debate, will you be debating like two men? Or are you going to be glancing at your stopwatch? I've only got 10 seconds left. I can't answer. There's no time. I can't answer. Somebody save me. Britt, jump in here. Save me, Britt. Oh, no. We're out of time. Oh, no. I can't answer. I got a great answer, but there's no time. Or you could debate like Crossfire with no commercials, man-to-man, no audience. Two men, a camera, and a chalkboard with 10 subjects on it. You've got 2 hours, gentlemen. Have at it.
I look forward to helping for the American people to hear, you know, what is the proper use of American power?
The proper use of American power is to get 660 men killed while enriching yourselves and your contributors. That's how you use American power in the 21st century. Just turn on a TV, buy a newspaper. It's all black and white.
Do we have an obligation to lead, or should we shirk responsibility? That's how I view this debate.
Is it about working with your friends and allies and even your adversaries to make the planet a better place, or is it about being the bully with the biggest guns and telling your friends to F.O. so you can get rich, personally, sacking a country that didn't attack us?
One thing is for certain, though, about me, and the world has learned this, when I say something, I mean it.
I guess that could be true, unless you're talking about the $13 billion you promised Africa for AIDS and turned that into five, and how you didn't want the 9/11 Commission, but then caved, and then Condi wasn't going to testify, and then you caved, and then you weren't going to testify, and then you caved, and then the WMD Commission that you fought tooth and nail, and then you had to cave. The Homeland Security, you fought tooth and nail, but you had to cave. But you say when you say something, you mean it? Oh, you mean when you say you're going to murder someone, you follow through. Yes, you are pretty good at that. But you also said you're going to get Osama. What happened to that vow? What happened to that sacred promise? One for the Kurds handing over Saddam, you'd be SOL on accomplishing something, wouldn't you there? Sparky.
And the credibility of the United States is incredibly important for keeping world peace and freedom.
It's incredible how incredibly stupid this incredibly stupid moron is.
Thank you all very much.
And with that, the never-elected monkey looked at the camera, and he smirked, and he spun around, and he walked back into Al Gore's house to sleep on Al Gore's bed.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.